Last week, 9-year-old Harper Nielsen became the centre of a nationwide debate after threats of suspension for refusing to stand for the national anthem. The debate highlighted the way in which national identity and nationalism has changed in recent years. To discuss this, we're joined by Associate Professor in Politics and International Relations from La Trobe University, Gwenda Tavan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, have we seen expressions of nationalism change in recent years?
Well, I do think that we have seen a more aggressive aspect to it, a more aggressive tone, a more sort of, you know, demanding a kind of absolute loyalty without any kind of questioning of it. And related to that, some sometimes quite threatening and bullying dimensions to it, of which I think the Harper Nielsen incident is the latest example. And I think we've got to be careful to distinguish between what people might think of as everyday patriotism, which is a sort of, you know, I think a more benign emotion in some respects, which is about loyalty or pride, to attitudes which say, you know, if you love your country, you must be unquestioning in your loyalty to it and not, you know, not problematise things that maybe are worth actually discussing and debating.
Well, there's certainly something a bit especially strange about this, because I don't think that there's lots of Australians who take that much pride in the national anthem. It sort of gets rolled out in sporting events and other bits and pieces. It seems a bit strange that this has become, you know, as far as the Australian identity is concerned, such a big issue in the media. It's almost as though there's another kind of faction of, you know, that Australian identity formation, those sort of hard nationalists who are pushing for something else.
I agree with you. I don't think that this necessarily, what's happened in the Harper Nielsen case, represents the majority viewpoint. What we have is a select group of people, individuals and groups, who were saying there is only one way to show your loyalty to this country, and it requires, you know, and it usually it'll be about the national anthem or about Anzac Day or Australia Day. And I think this is troubling because, you know, as I said, I don't think it necessarily represents a majority viewpoint, but it's certainly a very vocal group of people who are very adept at getting media attention over these sorts of issues. So, I mean, you know, the national anthem has only been our national anthem since 1974. And it was introduced after a popular vote in which 50% of the population didn't vote for it. So I think it always has been contested. And Harper Nielsen was making a very good point when she said that maybe for a very important group of people in our society, it's very, very problematic.
Now, Australia certainly isn't the only Western democracy that has sort of seen this rise of nationalism and outspoken people sort of standing for nationalistic ideas. How are we, you know, playing out differently than the way we've seen other democracies handle this recently?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think very often when people want to, you know, try to judge the public mood, they refer to the Scanlon Foundation, which does an annual survey that looks at social cohesion. And I think the Scanlon Foundation, which does its research out of Monash University in Melbourne, does a really good job of tracking mood and tone and attitude. And interestingly, they consistently find that overall, attitudes in Australia are pretty positive about things like immigration and multiculturalism. Now, that's not to say that they don't also identify aspects that are more problematic, for example, attitudes towards Muslims, and the fact that a small group of Australians is becoming more intense in its negativity towards immigration and race issues. But we have done better than many other liberal democracies, and I think that's not an accident, and it's not because we are inherently good or better at this. It's because we have a pretty good tradition in the last few decades of working on developing positive attitudes towards, I think, immigration. So, you know, I think we should never take these things for granted. I think that political leaders do a lot in setting the tone. And we have seen, for example, the US being a really good example recently, what happens when national leaders send out I think, loaded messages about immigration and race. We are in a position to try to avoid those extremes. We've been good at it. Well, we haven't been great at it, but we've been better than many other countries, and we should be aware of that.
We're speaking with Gwenda Tavan from La Trobe University about last week's debate about the national anthem. Now, this debate was sparked by a kid basically refusing, you know, to sort of stand for the national anthem. How is it that politicians and media makers can get out there on a public platform, attack a child, and not lose, you know, some element of their public standing?
Well, yeah, I don't know that they didn't lose an element of public standing. I've been heartened by the fact that you know, certainly the comments that I've read, that most people are pretty upset that that we had very influential, very powerful people, you know, using their status and their power to publicly bully and threaten a 9-year-old. So they haven't lost their positions of power, but I think they've been publicly criticised. And I think that is heartening, that in fact, you know, a lot of people aren't prepared to cop this. They think it's really problematic that senators and members of parliament are publicly bullied and, you know, threatened a 9-year-old child.
Now, as you mentioned before, there hasn't been sort of an intense expression about the national anthem. We don't seem to have a insane protectiveness for it here in Australia. Is there something, do you think, to the idea that this, we've seen a similar debate play out in US politics over the last couple of years through Colin Kaepernick and the NFL players? Is this maybe a debate that's been borrowed from the US from conservatives?
I think that's a really interesting question. So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, what is emboldening this group of people to think that this will play out well here. And I do think there's a sense in which some ultra-nationalists here are looking to the US and thinking, well, it's working there, it could work here. But, you know, different history, different traditions. I think one of the things that Australians have always, or a lot of Australians have been characterised, is their more laid-back attitude towards national symbols. Now, I think that is changing, and I think we've seen a bit of that in the last few years. But, you know, it is problematic that you could have this kind of reaction to what, after all, was, I think, a very reasonable reflection by a young girl about the relevance of our national anthem to our society, given its history and given its contemporary makeup. So, yes, it's unfortunate that, you know, we have these examples that I think are emboldening people to take these very, I think, aggressive stances. But I'm not sure that they can have the same impact here, because we have a very different culture and a very different tradition.
Well, Gwenda, thank you very much for your time this morning.
No worries at all. A pleasure. Thank you.
Gwenda Tavan, the Associate Professor in Politics and International Relations, speaking to us about the changing face of nationalism in Australia.